Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Barrett, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue in our current study, the Seven I Ams of Revelation. That wonderful prophetic book that has so many sevens in it, and incidentally, the number seven is the number of completion. It's the perfect number. It's God's number. There are 7 days in the week, and there are seven notes in the octave, the eighth note, of course, being the beginning of a new octave. And we are challenged by the numbers of seven. Today on the broadcast, I want to speak of the Christ as being the I Am of resurrection. He says in the first chapter of Revelation, verse 18, and he's addressing these remarks to the church. He is seen there with the church. He's walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, and he is preparing them for a message that he's going to give to the seven churches of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3. And he says in verse 18, in connection with the church, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Now this is the great I Am that's speaking. This is his eternal name. This is his name of deity. The greatest fact in the universe, I am. I live in the eternal present. And so we have here, he is the victor. He is the victor in the resurrection over Satan. Did you notice when I read it, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, a key is a badge of authority. And by the providence of God, Satan had the authority over death until Christ wrested it from him in his own resurrection. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, you and me, and those of all ages, he also took part of the same, became incarnate, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Now, he had the power of death. He could only exercise it as God gave him permission. But Satan killed the seven sons and three daughters of Job. He had the power of death. And he had the power of death up until that time. This is in the providence of God. I do not understand it, that he would have that. But Christ wrested that power from him, and hanging from the girdles of our victorious Lord Jesus at his resurrection, we see him having the keys of hell and of death. Now, that's very significant in the book of Revelation, because there are many, many martyrs. And he wants to remind us, even of this day and age, that he is the conqueror of death. And he has the keys. He's in absolute control. Now, there is a victory of the resurrection over death as far as Christ is concerned that is mentioned in Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. We read there, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. We only die once, as far as death is concerned. We only die once. Now, there is also the victory of resurrection over death for the believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord spoke, and I'm so glad that so many of these scriptures that I'm reading to you today are quotations from the blessed lips of our Lord Jesus. This is one of them. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 36 we read, neither can they die any more. And the Lord is referring, of course, to those who have experienced the resurrection. For they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. We'll only die once. And the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he has the keys. And we do not need to fear death. The keys of death and of hell are in his control now. Satan was absolutely, completely defeated by the death of Christ. Christ slew death by dying. He conquered by stooping. Satan wasn't prepared for this kind of Christ. But he is the winner. He is the victor. And then we have the significance of Christ's death that has been brought to us in Revelation, or rather, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there we read the verses there of Paul as he's writing to the Corinthians. The whole chapter, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, is about the resurrection. It's a wonderful chapter. In verse 12 we read there, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. They also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." This is the significance of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins are gone, absolutely gone. Isaiah 53:6 tells us, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," on Christ, "the iniquity of us all." And when Christ died for your sins and for my sins, he bore them into death. And God raised him from the dead after he had accomplished our salvation and said, "Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool." Now the resurrection of Christ is proof positive that my sins are gone. He could not have carried them into heaven. The resurrection of Christ is a signification from the God the Father that his work was accepted, and he did not bear our sins back into heaven. Now, if God is satisfied with the work of Christ, are you going to raise any question about it? I'm not. He bore our sins away. He put them away. He carried them into death. And the barrier of sin that would keep us out of heaven is gone. And through our faith in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, God grants to you and to me eternal life. Now, the confirmation of the gospel is proven by his resurrection also in Romans chapter 1 and verses 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, we have the apostle of the gospel, the promise of the gospel, and the subject of the gospel concerning Christ, now notice please, "and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." This confirms the gospel in every degree. Paul is writing in Romans a treatise on the gospel, and this confirms it. Certainly we have hope in Christ, and that hope is not in vain. Now, the hope of our resurrection is based on Christ's resurrection, because he says in John chapter 14 and verse 19, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Who says this? This is the great I Am that says this. This is deity. This is God in the flesh. He is the great I Am, and he tells me, "Because I live, ye shall live also." We have a living hope because of his resurrection. Peter tells us that in his first epistle, chapter 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Oh, the joy that comes through the resurrection of Christ. Now, the present power of the resurrection in our lives was first expressed by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:10. And it's our power too, if we will appropriate it. This is what Philippians 3:10 tells us. That I may know him, this was Paul's aspiration, and the power of his resurrection right now in our lives. The power over death in our lives. The sinful nature that's in us must be crucified. It was crucified with Christ on the cross, and we must experience the power of the resurrection of Christ. And Paul says, I want that power, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And then there is the future power of the resurrection demonstrated in us, as Paul writes down further in that same chapter, Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. We read there, for our conversation, the margin has it better, our manner of life is in heaven, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. This is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. The power of the resurrection will change these bodies of our humiliation and fashion them like his glorious body. Now, in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, we read there of that resurrection. Paul says, I don't want you Thessalonians grieving like others that have no hope. He says, Christ is coming back, and he's bringing the dead with him, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the Lord. And first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 15, in the latter verses of that chapter, also tell us that we are going to be changed, and this mortal must put on immortality, this corruption must put on incorruption, and this is all wrought by the power of Christ and of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the resurrection comes to you and to me in its most wonderful sense. We are going to be changed. We're going to have resurrection bodies that will live forever with our Lord Jesus Christ in that coming glory. Oh, I'm so glad for this I Am, of the seven I Ams of the book of Revelation, where our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. May this sweet assurance console us in the hour of death. If it is our lot to die, we may be raptured, but may we let it comfort us too. Father, today, comfort us indeed by the power of the Lord, who is the resurrection and the life. We pray in his name, giving thanks. Amen.